talked before in verse, well, let's do verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, or in respect of holy days, or of new moons, or of the Sabbath days, which things are a shadow, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is Christ. So again, no matter what it is, it doesn't even matter whether it's things that you think are really important, they're all a shadow of the body, which is Christ. So we, as I said yesterday, we happen to believe that by the celebration of the feasts, we see the body more pristinely, more clearly. We see it as a living body instead of a historical body. But we can't judge anyone else for not celebrating the feast. That's not the issue. The issue is the body, which is Christ. We can't sit around and judge the Bojos because they don't eat meat.
Why not?
Because they might judge you for eating meat. The body is Christ. I mean, none of these things have any merit. Is that clear to everybody? You can't gain any righteousness or any justification for judgment against for all of these myriad of things, which they just give a few examples. Let no man beguile you, in verse 18, of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by the mind of his flesh. That's enough. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Not the increase of you learning. It's your human body is the perfect example. Christ is the head of the body, which is the church. Your human head is the head of your body. If you do something to the brainstem, you have implications throughout the whole body. You can have total paralysis by some particular damage to your brainstem. Now, the point of this is that if you leave the head, if you leave 100% total and complete dependence on the head, then the body will no longer have nourishment ministered to it, and the body will not be knit together in love. When you start giving breath, giving importance to anything other than God Himself, then you cut off the body from the nourishment that is necessary for the edification or for the building up of the total body. But not only that, you cut yourself off from His source of life. That's why the first commandment is, thou shalt love, the verb love, agapeo, give importance to, only the Lord thy God. And you shall do it with all of your mind, all of your soul, all of yourself. That's why you must walk as a believer with absolutely no weight, no care, no concern. Because by definition, if you have a care about something or a concern about something, then that is a weight or a debt that has cut you off from the nourishment of the head. Now, it's all unseen. It's all imperceptible, but I promise you it won't be long before you reap the results. We've seen this 1,000 times in the... Well, let's pick on Harry this morning. We haven't picked on him for a while. Harry gets a great idea. He's convinced that that idea is going to save Trinity Foundation, or Save the Door. Within days, hours, minutes sometimes, all of a sudden he is in a total and complete funk. And it gets worse and worse and worse because he doesn't talk about it. He struggles with it for several weeks. Does that sound familiar to anyone? Everybody does that, but he is the one that you can see it in clearest. What?
I've noticed that a lot in Mary.
Thank you.
I get messages from the Lord.
But can you see how quickly, by not loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, that pretty soon, boom.
That thing you said a minute ago about it cuts you off when you take on a weight, you eliminate,
the nourishment
from God, and you try and provide your own nourishment.
Right. That's why the world feeds on a thousand things. The world feeds on football games, on movies, on careers, on their job, on relationships, on drugs, on alcohol, on ideas. Those are all things that you feed on, that you gain nourishment and sustenance from. But the problem with it is that nourishment and sustenance is like eating a piece of paper. It has no sustaining value in nourishing you. So the moment you do that, then you've stopped eating the Word of God. You've stopped eating the flesh of the Holy One of Israel, and you've begun eating some other deal, some other mission, some other issue. Like, that's why I've said so often here that nothing we do is important. And nothing we do is more important than anything else. And that the foundation or Trinity or the door or the investigations, nothing is any more important than washing the dishes. It must all be, and also, if anybody looks at Trinity Foundation or looks at the body or looks at the Seder group as having any importance, then you are still feeding on the wrong thing because you're not getting the nourishment from the head. Now, this is something that everybody must be aware of because you so quickly return to that feeding on something else. Buddy Capiche?
This brings to me why we exhort one another, because when we see somebody not feeding properly, the exhortation is to bring them back.
Right, and sometimes it's violent.
Yeah.
Right. The puffed up situation, puffing yourself up, happens because you're eating this air.
Right.
You're
getting gas.
Puffed up, yeah. but you're dying of your soul and spirit are dying of hunger.
Now that's why, if I'm talking or something and all of a sudden I sense that, somebody is, it's like you become like a spiritual black hole, because I sense that you've left the moment, I usually say something. You all understand that? Now it's not just my job, it's all of your jobs. But you have to exercise that in order to develop it. If you don't exercise, then it you lose even the little bit that you already had. Okay. Not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, and that's joints and bands is kind of awkward, but it's just the things, the ligaments and the stuff that holds the body together, the natural body, the same thing holds the spiritual body together. There must be touching. Now, that's the last thing that the individual human being wants to do. The individual human being wants to be an independent self, successful in their relationships, in their life, in their whatever they find to do. That's why the only people that are invited here are the ones who have failed in everything. What's going on, Mike? What are you thinking of?
What you just said.
In what relationship?
That was true of me, but I forgot that.
But it also is, not was, it is true of you when you don't give. What's there? And the more we exercise that, the more sensitive that each one of us become, so that by even risking to say something, you are laying down your life for that person that you have sensed is out of fellowship, is out of the mystery.
It's like coming here and not giving or sharing or opening yourself up. Just adds stupidity onto your failure.
It'll just cause your...
To hang around here, you know, and not do that is like, you're really stupid now.
Yeah, it's like you become like a pimple. That's why I've always said that some of the individuals within the body, their function is to be a pimple on the ass of the body. Because it's by your silence and by your internalizing everything, the Bible says you become like a grape that has got leprosy. I just happen to say that you become like a pimple. It needs to be popped or excised. What?
What's that on?
Or a clown.
Put it on. You're on a butt.
Verse 20 now. Because of all that, wherefore? Now the if here is a word that's not like if you or conditional. It's in view of the fact. Wherefore, in view of the fact that you are dead, or you be dead with Christ, from the rudiments or principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to the world's principles, to the world's way of doing things, to cause and effect, to reward and punishment? Why are you subject to these incredible number of worldly ordinances that, not subject like obey speed limits, but subject internally to having your life guided by, right? All right. Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using. In other words, their corruption becomes evident the more you use them. If your goal is to try to get human power, then that power corrupts. If your goal is to try to get more money, the more money you have, the more corrupted you become. So the idea here is that these essences of the world shall reveal the corruption with the using of them, or with the active... The activating of them, they show corruption. Where on the other hand, the spiritual issues, they never tire, they never corrupt, they never become stale. I've said the same damn thing for 30 years, over and over and over in thousands of different ways. And as far as I know, at least for me, it's never become boring. Because it's the mystery, the purpose, the story, the hidden mystery. He will show us wondrous things out of his Torah. Now, you remember, I don't know how many of you have ever heard me talk about if you ever feel bored. Anybody ever felt bored? Anybody ever felt bored in morning Bible study? Have you ever felt bored in morning Bible study? Well, if you've ever felt bored in anything, It's God's way of telling you that you haven't been prophesying. You haven't been saying what's there. Does everybody understand that? So it's easy then to blame something else. I'm bored because of this or that. No, you're bored because you haven't been faithful to what God has given you. You haven't said what's there. And so you internally become bored. Now, to me, boredom is the worst possible state of being that I can be in. There is nothing worse. Now, I promise you, I haven't been bored a day or a second since I became a believer. I've been bored with people by their sitting like a lump on a log or a frog on a log, not saying what's there. That bores me. But I haven't been bored as a believer. Now, the thing that drove me to becoming a believer was boredom. Not desperation. But to me, in a way it was, because to me, boredom was desperation. Can you understand why it's so vital that you say what's going on? If you don't, then you are not gaining the nourishment from God. You're trying to gain the nourishment from some internal process, an internal judgment.
I had something to say a minute ago and I didn't say it. And now I can't remember what it was, but it was important.
That's for us to decide.
but it underscores that if you don't give, you lose. I really wanted to say what I had to say so I could
hear cement it in you.
Yeah, that would be like saying amen. Almost.
All right. Can everybody hear me? Does anybody want to... somebody disagree with me, just to make life interesting.
Just as an exercise.
Just pretend you disagree.
You're full of shit.
That used to be his goal in life for the first 10 years of Bible study. Well, you're full of shit, Ollie. And I welcomed it. Everybody understand the importance of saying what's there? Prophesying. No, no, wait a minute, stop. Prophesy. Greek word, nabi. Describes the process of wine fermenting. That means everything that's necessary for the perfection of the wine is within the wine. All it has to do is say what's there, or be what it is. When you spend a lifetime judging what you're going to say next, or making sure that you said it in the right way, or making sure, this is what I really struggle with, making sure that what I'm going to say doesn't offend anyone. I'm being facetious. The moment I do that, then I've left the head for my nourishment, and I've returned to myself for nourishment. And the only reason, again, the reason you get bored is because you're already bored with yourself. But you sit there in silence, just sitting here learning, trying to gain something for you.
There aren't like 20 tapes on the subtleties of how to do it. you either prefer the safety of,
No, you prefer the safety. That's why people, I'm afraid to say something because I'm afraid of Oli. My God in heaven, what a wimp you must be if anybody's afraid of me. Oh, yeah, that's my favorite one. Because I'm not sure I'll say it right. Okay, let's move on here. Remember, which all are to perish with the using, as opposed to the spiritual issues, which nourish and expand with the using. Never get bored. After the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things indeed have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship. Now what is the one thing that you've been taught since childhood that has a show of wisdom? Most of you, it's silence. That's another one. But I'm talking now, the one thing that's common to all societies is that by your silence, you're showing respect. Right? Anybody want to argue with that? Well, in here, by your silence, you're showing your hatred.
Standard of success for a believer is empty. Standard of success in the world is fulfilled.
Gather.
Yeah. And that's upside down.
How you become a pimple.
That's how you become a pimple, that's right. Or a boil, depending on the size of your pimple, huh?
Or a carbuncle.
Carbuncle.
I've heard it pointed out so many times in Proverbs, it says, you know, if you sit silent, people will think you're wise.
Let's talk about Proverbs a minute. I love people that get their theology from Proverbs. You just did.
Ring the bell.
Ding, ding. The book of Proverbs is a book of contrasts. It contrasts you and Christ. It shows the contrast between the whore and the bride. That's what its purpose is. It's nothing but contrasts. It's not rules to live by. The book of Psalms is the prayers of Christ written by the Spirit of Christ for Christ incarnate and now for Christ in you. There isn't one how-to in the Bible. Peace. Now, if you want to join Promise Keepers, which is to perish with the using, you know, then there's these little rules. There's most of them taken from Proverbs. How you can be a manly man.
Yeah, you want to spew it all out there so you can see your own foolishness. You know, it's always between the fool and the wise man. So once you see your own foolishness and repent, then you're out of the way.
Amen. You sit in the corner.
One wise man can come forth.
Which things indeed have a show of wisdom in this will worship, the worshiping of the will, which is a stench in the nostrils of God, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Now that's better stated, but have no value in curbing the pampering of their flesh. Will worship is worthless. In fact, it's worse than worthless. It's damaging. And what is will worship? It's either you following you your own will or somebody else's will in how to present yourself to God.
Okay, so this whole thing starts at 20.
There weren't any numbers here.
Yeah, and the next part goes with it because it's right. I mean, since you're dead from the remnants, and then it goes on. I don't know. It's just a little confusing to me because there's a question mark, and then like explains this stuff, and I'm kind of getting lost. What exactly he's trying to say?
He's saying. Why then, if you are dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you still subject to its ordinances?
Yes.
And then the culmination of it is verse 1 of chapter 3. If then you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, as opposed to being subject to all of this other stuff.
One of them is all about you.
Well, let's concentrate on verse 23 for a minute. Which things indeed have indeed a show of wisdom in regard to will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, but have no value to curbing the lusts of the flesh.
So related to that willful humility that we talked about yesterday.
Voluntary humility in verse 18. All of it is related. That's why my point is you've spent a lifetime guarding your words, being careful of what you said. Think of how many times when you were a child you were told to shut up. Think of how many times when you were a child as either by your parents or by your teachers in school were told, because I said so. Why should I do that? Because I said so. Now, don't you see that you've created a being that is still responding to those little no's and whatevers and that as a child? Now somebody is telling you to take all that off and just be you without regard to what the effect of your words will be. Now that takes faith. It takes the certainty that your old way of doing things has brought you nothing but misery. And now the new way, which the Bible and the New Testament calls prophesying, is now the only way of living.
You know, when I don't do that, I can say prophesy. Right. It causes me to question.
Of course, because that's its purpose. Remember, the thief came, but not for but to what?
Steal, kill, and destroy.
And you're the thief. Your mind is the thief. Your mind is the Antichrist. Well, forget that. You are the Antichrist, the instead of Christ. Your you-ness is the instead of Christ. The number of all men is 666. You can never find 7, which is rest. And therefore, if you can't find 7, you can never find 8, which is resurrection. And so you're lost in this morass of trying to figure it out, never experiencing rest, never knowing peace. It isn't kidding. There is no peace for the wicked one. It's only an eternity spent in self-seeking with an accusing heart. Isn't it time? Don't you know that by now? Okay, tomorrow we'll continue in chapter 3, I hope.
It occurred to me that there's a whole group of people that take that, you know, like, this is my will, this is how you're going to worship God or present yourself to God. And they think that he's like that, the hard master, terrible, you know. You thought I was doing this and this, and therefore that's what you're going to get. And, you know, we think that God is the person who in our past said, you know, you do this just because I said so. But that's not the way he is. And that's not the way he wants us to be. Unless it's to, like, really experience it, not just do it because you're supposed to.
The thing about the, I'm stuck on that. At the time, I was thinking about the proverb there, or the saying, it's not biblical, it says, better be silent, be thought a fool, than speak up and remove all doubt. And I was realizing that the Bible isn't just something you read. And I mean, if you read it and you grab the principles, you'll hear that and you'll think, okay, that's wonderful, I'll be silent. But if you just think about it for a second, you know, do you really want to be a fool who's thought to not be a fool? Is that the way you want to live your life? And if you accept that proverb, you know, at face value, that's what you conclude is the right way to be.
Well, but don't couple that with 2 Thessalonians. That the Antichrist shall set himself up in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, because he sits back and judges everything.
That one,
but wait a minute.
Okay, sorry.
Everybody else thinks he's a fool. Nobody's going to know you're not. Everybody's going to know you're a fool. You're not going to. You're not kidding anyone. The cliche that you've just that sounds like something from Ben Franklin again.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was getting at. You have to ask yourself what the two ends of the proverb mean. Or if you're not just, you know,
well, I don't have to ask myself anything about it because it's not from the Bible.
Well, okay, but I mean, whatever, you know, whatever you're, whenever you're doing something like that.
All right. Wait a minute.
That one, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. It puts the burden on the little kid of figuring out what's nice, which is really bad.
Oh, I was really bad at that.
See, I never would have guessed.
I was really bad at that. My mother...
I was
really good for a brief period of time when I was in politics. Shut up, Josena. I was good. No, I wasn't.
That's why he's so evil.
Look how proud he is.
And with that, he's leaving.
Okay, again, let me remind you. The reason the ancients smoked the pipe was to constantly remind themselves that they were the burnt offering. And I have a woodcut of that ancient rabbi smoking a pipe. What about white chins?
Rise up before the hoary head.
Go thou and do likewise.
Oh, shut up.
I shall pay that vow, and I shall decree a thing.
Just shut up. How about that?
Turn him off.
Anybody have anything edifying to say, except for Kevin? Anybody have any response? Brian? You're up, yes. Say whatever you want. You got the floor.
I'm here because I spent the last few months just pretending there's no such thing as spirit. Just drifting away. And then Sunday and Monday, finally got fed up with it. Realized what an offense I am to people that I love. Just get so selfish. agenda. So I'm here listening to maybe I'm dipped in the acid wash. I guess that's what I'm hearing. Burn away this crap.
Welcome back. You don't have anything to do except be you. But I'll kick your butt if you're not you fully. All right. Jim, any response? All righty. Take it large person. Big guy.